WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. White nationalists, neo-Nazis, and members of the KKK descend once again on Charlottesville. As violence broke out on Saturday, one woman is killed by an alleged neo-Nazi. We will remember Heather Heyer, and we'll have an overview of the weekend and the aftermath. This is the WMRA Daily for Monday, August 14th.
Support for the WMRA Daily comes from Blue Ridge Community College. When you earn a two-year associate degree, transferring to a four-year college is possible through their guaranteed transfer agreement programs. More information at brcc.edu.
An Ohio man accused of plowing his car into counter-protesters at a white nationalist rally in Virginia is set to make his first court appearance. 20-year-old James Alex Fields Jr. has a bond hearing Monday morning. Fields is charged with second-degree murder and other counts after authorities say he drove into the crowd, fatally injuring one woman and hurting 19 others. Fields has been in custody since Saturday. A high school teacher said Fields was fascinated with Nazism, idolized Adolf Hitler, and had been singled out by school officials in the ninth grade for his deeply held radical convictions on race. Meanwhile, people in Charlottesville are remembering the 32-year-old woman who was killed. Police identified her as Heather Heyer. Virginia Public Radio's Mallory Nopain has more.
At the site of the crash, people came all day Sunday, delivering candles, notes of sympathy, and flowers. Heyer worked in Charlottesville as a paralegal. Her friend and co-worker, Courtney Commander, says it was Heyer's first time at a rally, but that she always spoke up.
Heather denounced any type of discrimination, not just racism. She stood up for gay rights and just anything that she felt like was wrong. She stood for.
19 other people were injured in the incident that killed Heyer. James Fields Jr., the alleged driver, has been charged with murder. In Charlottesville, I'm Mallory Nopain.
10 of the people hit by the car attack in Charlottesville are now in good condition at UVA Medical Center, and 9 have been released. But as Virginia Public Radio's Sandy Houseman reports, some invisible wounds may remain.
Casey Landrum was traumatized when she witnessed the crash and rushed to help one victim who lay bleeding on the sidewalk.
We had to bandage her wounds to the best of our ability until a medic was able to come, and it was truly the most horrific thing I've ever seen, a vehicle plowing people down in the road and just leaving like it was nothing.
But for many, the tragedy was a call to political action. Emma Kaplan is with a group called Refuse Fascism.
This is what Trump has unleashed. We have to come together, and we have to say Trump's got to go.
And David Reed is taking a different approach, once again standing on the downtown mall alongside the outdoor bars and cafes, offering free hugs to anyone who needs a little love.
Many people accepting hugs and many people glad, but I just got to... Sorry, I'm going to break up. I just got to witness the most remarkable thing. Two lines of state police and riot gear came up here, and I heard the sound of clapping. All these people sitting here in the restaurants stood up and applauded for the way the police handled it.
There have also been numerous memorials to the woman killed Saturday. In Charlottesville, I'm Sandy Houseman.
Finally, there's a lot to digest from the weekend's events in Charlottesville. WMRA's Jordy Yeager was there and filed this comprehensive report.
Before the day was through, Charlottesville would be mired in chaos and bedlam. Two state police officers would die in a helicopter crash west of town. A white supremacist would drive a car into a crowd of people, killing a 32-year-old woman and injuring 19 others. Pepper spray, sticks, shields, bats, knives, rifles, handguns, and bottles would be brandished in all-out brawls. Dozens of people would limp away, bandaged and bloodied, and the police would be criticized for not doing enough and for doing too much. But before any of that, before daybreak on Saturday, about 300 people packed into Charlottesville's oldest African-American church. The night before, several hundred white supremacists had marched through the University of Virginia with torches, throwing blows and pepper spray with a small group of activists and students outside the rotunda. A block away, Dr. Cornel West spoke to area residents. And now, less than 12 hours later, the renowned Harvard professor was at First Baptist Church.
We must never allow anybody to naturalize criminality, to make crimes look like it's part of the natural order of things. White supremacist slavery was a crime against humanity. Jim and Jane Crow was a crime against humanity. The new Jim Crow, the mass incarceration regime, is a crime against humanity.
After the service around 8 o'clock, West and several hundred people marched downtown to Emancipation Park. The park was renamed earlier this year after city council voted to remove a giant statue of its former namesake, Confederate General Robert E. Lee. Saturday's rally was in response to that vote. Police expected as many as 6,000 people, and it cordoned off half of Emancipation Park with metal barricades. But Market Street, the main thoroughfare that leads to the park, was wide open, an unclaimed no-man's land. One by one, the hate groups arrived. First was the American Vanguard, a group of young men that James Alex Fields belongs to. Police arrested Fields later Saturday, charging him with second-degree murder after a car plowed into a large crowd, injuring 19 people and killing counter-demonstrator Heather Heyer. The rally was slated to begin at noon, but by 9:30 a.m., hundreds of white nationalists had begun to stream into the park. By 10, the first armed counter-protesters marched down Market Street. Over the next hour, more than 2,000 people flooded the street, throwing water bottles and fruit at each other. But then, shortly before 11, the real fighting erupted. Hundreds of state and local police looked on from behind barricades and rooftops as rallygoers beat each other with clubs and fists, pepper spray and screams drenching the air. At 11:30, before rally organizer Jason Kessler and white nationalist Richard Spencer could address their crowd, police decided the situation was out of control and declared an unlawful assembly. White supremacists were forced out of the park and into the street, where counter-protesters outnumbered them. Kessler shouted at a cop as he walked with a group down Market Street.
We'll see you at court!
Spencer stayed behind, and on Sunday's Alt-Right Politics podcast, said the forced removal from the park was a setup by police to put the white nationalists in harm's way.
They wanted not to prevent violence. They sought to exacerbate violence. They had no interest whatsoever in protecting our free speech. Indeed, they wanted chaos in the streets as a way of giving themselves an excuse to suppress our speech.
In the 36 hours after the rally, video emerged of brutal fights throughout the city between counter-protesters and white supremacists. At a press conference Saturday evening, Charlottesville Police Chief Al Thomas lauded that none of the 35 treated injuries that day was inflicted by an officer. Last month, 50 members of the Ku Klux Klan rallied in Charlottesville, and police arrested 22 counter-protesters, donning full riot gear and deploying tear gas to clear the streets. Since then, local activists and lawyers have heavily criticized the police's use of force, pushing instead for less confrontational de-escalation tactics. Don Gathers, one of the leaders of the local Black Lives Matter march and the former president of the commission that studied whether to remove the Lee statue, said police on Saturday treated the hundreds of white nationalists with kid gloves. He called it a double standard.
The reaction by the law enforcement authorities, specifically and primarily the state police, don't surprise me whatsoever. None whatsoever. The way that they moved so swiftly to arrest the counter-protesters a month ago, and now this.
Gathers demanded a full review of police action, and Chief Thomas agreed, saying the department will look at the day's events for lessons learned. But Gathers and Thomas also pressed for something else. Gathers called for local leadership to step up and empower the voiceless in Charlottesville. And Thomas said residents need to dig deep and take back their city's narrative.
What the world saw today is not the place Charlottesville is. We love our city. Let us heal. This is not our story. Outsiders do not tell our story.
For WMRA News, I'm Jordy Yeager.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for joining me. Enjoy your Monday.